Grenade episode 319. I'm your host, Hector. Mind Grenade is a pop culture-based show that dives into TV, movies, music, comics, and a whole lot more. We got the gang back together, and it's wall-to-wall TV talk. There's so much out there right now, and between the four of us, me, Jason, Matt, and Ian, we cover many series across all the streaming services. Jason and Matt start off the show raving about the Star Wars series Andor on Disney Plus, and then we're off to the races from there. And speaking of Jason and Matt, you can find them on their other podcast, Listen Impossible. You can find that show, as well as Mind Grenade, anywhere finer podcasts are found. You can also find Mind Grenade at mindgrenadestudios.com. You'll find a feed of the podcast there, as well as an art gallery that I post to occasionally. Oh, and before we get to the episode, let me just say, we do get into the Lord of the Rings series, The Rings of Power, on this episode. All four of us are caught up, and we get into our spoiler reactions to it. And towards the very, very end of this episode of Mind Grenade, I suggested the guys the idea of a Lord of the Rings trivia contest, a Tolkien trivia contest. And we'll probably start out with just doing it internally, like just competing between us co-hosts. But I'd really like to get any like fans of Tolkien, any listeners to join in on the fun. So we'll get into that. It's really at the kind of beginning stages of putting it together, but I just wanted to throw that out there to anyone listening that loves Lord of the Rings. So without further ado, enjoy this episode of Mind Grenade.
I have a hot take.
Oh, well, do you want to do yours first?
Or? No.
Okay, let me hit you with the hot topic. So did you guys know that Chris Kattan is now living in Springfield area?
I knew he had been around.
Yeah, so...
because he has a girlfriend or something here,
so,
right?
Yeah, that's the scuttlebutt, you know. He's got a girl, a squeeze, in Springfield.
Got a girl.
From last year, and now he's moved here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I think it's Chatham.
What is he doing? I want to know.
Directing still? Like he's like writes still?
So he's probably not in town that often?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I bet you could probably write and do
He could definitely write.
He quote unquote lives here.
I think he produces and writes. So
he lives here like rich people live anywhere.
There's a bunch of really funny memes now where it's like, better check your candy. And it's like a picture of Chris
Kattan. Wait. You're on the Springfield meme game?
Oh, I mean.
God damn.
Wait. No. So this is a peripheral meme. One of my friends is like, oh, I think I saw some of this, and he'd send me a screenshot. He's like, the only group I follow on Facebook is this one. He lives in California now. He's like, the only group I follow now is just one Springfield meme group. He's like, I don't know why. It's just my connection to the town.
Nice.
He sent me this one, and it was literally a picture of a candy bar, and it said, check your candy, and it says, Chris Kattan's in town. And it's just a little mini picture of Chris Kattan like inside the Snickers bar. Like, you know, it was like, check your candy for razor blades or whatnot.
Dude, there's so many good memes about that because the conservatives are freaking out about rainbow fentanyl or whatever.
Oh.
But there's a picture of a candy bar broken in half with the ring from Lord of the Rings sticking out. And it's like, be careful, my child brought home this candy bar and it had the one ring of Sauron in it.
Yeah.
It's always this time of year. You always like, it's the, what is it, the fear of the laced candy always comes
that's
up.
That's been like, which
for the most part, I guess there's always some sick son of a bitches.
There's some of that when I was a kid going around where I could be careful who you take candy from. If the wrappers are not right, don't eat it.
In your time, they were worried that the non-Catholics were coming to take over. Right?
Oh, no. The one I remember as a kid was the razor blade and an apple. But why would you accept an apple? Exactly.
You just throw that away. It's like when you get like a, what was it, one of those popcorn balls? Ew, gross.
No one ever ate those anyway. If you ever got one, it wasn't even like a, oh, this is probably poisoned. It was like, who the fuck wants a popcorn ball?
Mm-hmm. hot take? Or you had a hot rant? Or
I was going to talk about a movie. I don't care when.
We're recording.
Oh.
I'm going to add the intro later, so we're just gonna go right into it. Let's just get into recommendations. I know we're gonna want to talk about Lord of the Rings and anything else, but
everything.
What do you have there?
This
Matt?
Is like the best 2 months of TV I think in my life.
I can't find
a comparison.
Wow. Man, there's Breaking Bad, there's The Wire.
But like simultaneously.
At the same time. Yeah. Yes, I can give you that.
Collectively.
Yeah.
Between Andor. which is the best Star Wars show by like infinity.
Wow. Why has no one been talking about it?
I know exactly. Let's go with that because I've not watched it. Well, I already.
Dude, Andor is so good. It's the Star Wars show I've been wanting since.
Can you back that up, Jason? Can you back that up?
It's very good. Yeah, Matt and I have discussed it off air.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Yeah, you guys talk about it.
It takes. I mean, granted, it's a pre-existing character, but there's no Jedi at all. Wow. There's no discussion of Jedi.
Wow.
And I mean, the plot is basically like the seeds of the rebellion.
Yeah, yeah.
But it takes that like little guy being under the boot of the Empire premise, and just runs with it, and it's so good.
You know how there's that oversold meme, like there's no I in team, like well, there's no I in Jedi.
I mentioned in the very beginning of the show is almost unrecognizable in a good way, meaning that the show doesn't come at you right away with Star Warsiness. It just the show makes a point to live within the universe and do it accurately, but it doesn't make a point to show you Star Wars. If it's applicable to the plot, you'll see stuff just in the environment or the background that stuff that you would call fan service, but it doesn't serve it to you in a way where it's like, looky here, looky here. They're it doesn't do that.
They're not pushing it in your face.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just there.
Although the stones from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom do make an appearance.
What? Yeah. Yes. It did.
It's just on a shelf.
You really got to be paying attention. Yeah.
Like the cell phone in Game of Thrones.
But yeah, it's so there's a scene in The Last Jedi. With Benicio del Toro's character, where he kind of teases like the financing and how everyone's selling weapons to everybody.
Right.
And it kind of grounds the fantastical Star Wars conflict into like how wars really work here.
Right.
And the show really takes that concept and makes it work in the Star Wars world. Like everything feels real. And like the police on the edges of the galaxy aren't working for the Empire. They're just working for corporations that are kind of loyal to the Empire.
Right.
And just the way that colonialism and imperialism, it's just really good.
Okay, how many episodes out so far?
It's almost over, right?
Yeah,
we're getting close to the end of the first season.
Hands down, like leaps and bounds better than any other
show. Tell me, action, adventure? Okay,
there's suspense. Like I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say that there's a big heist plot, and like the tension and then the actual execution of the heist is like, it's great.
Oh,
like,
awesome.
Truly great.
This would be the one Star Wars show so far that I could recommend to someone who's not like an absolute Star Wars fan.
You don't have
fan.
To know anything about Star
Sweet.
Wars. You could dislike Star Wars and you would like this show.
Yeah, that's fantastic. The heist part of it that you were saying, because Rogue One, this is a prequel
it's
to
similar,
Rogue One.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the same guy that came up with the Rogue One thing. So it's cool that they brought him back.
Oh,
for this.
I see the same director or writer.
Writer or concept person. Or
I really want to rewatch Rogue One after this.
Yeah.
It was so long ago, I don't quite remember
the
character, but.
Yeah. I like the character in Rogue One. That's reminded me of The Lord of the Rings because, like, I just binged all the episodes on my week off. And then this morning, I threw in the Fellowship of the Ring, just and I was like, oh man, I forgot about that. In that epilogue to the Fellowship of the Ring is probably the best epilogue in film history. So I'm watching it and I was like, oh, there's a Isildur and his dad, and then it's making me think about the TV show, and I was like, oh man. So with Andor and Rogue One, like, you just reminded me, like,
the lady that does the voiceover for the prologue of that, I just want her to do everything
just to talk
you
to
mean
you
in the Fellowship of the Rings?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. It's Galadriel.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay, that's right.
It is Galadriel.
And the voice is just so,
and I'm sure all that dialogue that she does at the beginning, actually most of the dialogue in the Lord of the Rings trilogy is straight out of Tolkien's books and stuff. Like they tweak stuff here and there. With the movies, with the TV show, they have more liberties and stuff. But that's awesome to hear about Andor, because I haven't heard any buzz about it.
Yeah.
Not that you know, but like you'd think. I was planning on watching it, excited for it. I just had a lot on my plate TV wise. Like, what have we got going on? I'm caught up on Game of Thrones. I'm caught up on Lord of the Rings. I'm caught up on What else we got going on?
She-Hulk. She-Hulk is awesome. Yeah.
So wow, I'm glad you said that.
I was just gonna bring that up. You know, I haven't watched it, but one of my friends just like plugged it. He said, you know, I'm really liking it. It's kind of, most of the episodes have actually been really fun. And
yes, yeah. That's the best description for it. At least for me, is I'm enjoying myself. I'm having a good time. Mm-hmm. We can get in there. Me and Jason have brought up criticisms, and I still hold to the criticisms that some of the humor, like they're trying to make it like a comedy, lawyer comedy thing, and it doesn't, I don't know, the structure of the comedy's a little off, but I'm still enjoying myself, and I think there's an episode I dropped this morning or the morning before. But
it wasn't out yesterday because I tried to watch it yesterday.
Yeah. Well, tell me what your thoughts, Matt, on them.
Well, it's just, I think like my main refrain on this podcast is I'm tired of everyone doing the same shit over and over again.
Yeah.
Which is why Andor is so great. Which is why, what are we talking about? She-Hulk is so great. And is also why I still think, I mean, it's getting closer, but I still think I prefer Lord of the Rings over the Game of Thrones show. It's just, I enjoy people doing something that hasn't already been done.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, She-Hulk is just fun. And it, like, I find it funny. I mean, there's a few maybe stupid jokes.
No, yeah. I think the plots can get messy sometimes, but when they went to make the show, I think that was their major goal, was to make something fun that's similar in like ambiance to the comic, which is breaking the fourth wall and being kind of goofy.
The silliness.
And that, I think that's what they're doing. So some people don't gravitate towards that or have already decided before they even watch the show how they feel about it.
She's a charm factory. Like, she's great.
Yeah. It's honestly, it's more of like a lawyer-based sitcom than any sort of superhero anything.
Yeah. Have you seen Orphan Black, Matt?
No.
Okay.
That's I'm wanting to go and watch that at some point because of Tatiana Maslany. Just because...
Is she the... Oh, she's the...
Yeah.
Jennifer. Shulk.
She plays the orphan.
She plays... Well, it's about clones, so she plays like umpteen versions of herself, and she's fantastic in that show.
Hey, she won awards for it and stuff, yeah. She's pretty fantastic. And then the last episode had Daredevil in it, which was
kind of... I bet all the Marvel people were happy about that. Wait, I got to ask before you get in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he have a yellow helmet in the comics ever?
His original costume was all yellow.
Okay.
Like for a couple issues back in the 60s. And then ever since then, it's been red.
Okay.
So
because he was red and yellow.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they've had variations.
I just didn't know if it was a callback to a specific look.
Right. I don't think it's crazy or weird for me to say this, but superhero sex sounds kind of interesting. Like when they were when they were going into the bedroom, I was like, not that I thought that I was going to see anything, you know, anything crazy.
Definitely won't see anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Podcast is over. But I don't know. It just adds an extra level of fun when it's two superheroes. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
The Daredevil Walk of Shame was
good. That landed for sure. Yeah. I'm interested to see because it was a cliffhanger the last episode, the Daredevil episode there at the end, where she loses. I'm trying to not give it all away, but yeah, she has like a rageful moment, deservedly so, there at the end. What happens to her?
Yeah.
So the next episode will be interesting to see what happens there.
I hope they keep the MCU at arm's length like they've been doing.
You mean like?
Like they sent Banner off right away.
Yeah.
And then she hasn't really fought any crime per se.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is like, that's what's good about the show.
Yeah.
And I'm worried it's going to have a WandaVision ending, which is just like, bleh.
Yeah.
Well, she thought she was fighting crime, and what she ended up was she was fighting a superhero.
Yeah.
Well, like, he's fighting. I'm sorry. He's. Kevin Feige is said that she's going to show up in the movies eventually. Like, it'd be cool just for her to get her own movie eventually if there's, you know, if people want that. But
was that Frogman, right?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I enjoyed that. His actual character in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
What was I trying to say with her character? Like, it'd be what you're saying, Matt, where, like, keeping the MCU at arm's length, like, letting her have her own show, like... I'm glad they're doing that with the show, because then eventually she'll get embroiled with the larger MCU at some point, and it'll be fun to see her on an Avengers team or something with other characters. But for now, it's cool that they're just letting her get her own story without being embroiled.
Right.
What was a? I'm trying to think of an example of. Yeah, I'm having it. Where they just have to like have like what you guys are saying with Star Wars with Andor, where they're not constantly showing you a lightsaber to be like, hey, this right, is, you know. So I'm glad that the She-Hulk is working out that way, but
I feel like a part of what's so fun and endearing about the show is that she's constantly, even though she's like the strongest woman for sure and probably the second strongest human on Earth,
yeah,
she's constantly underdogged.
Yeah,
because like her non-She-Hulk form is like this diminutive little girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so like if they make her an Avenger, I feel like that takes away all of that.
Okay, yeah.
So I worry that other side, that incorporating her into that is kind of takes away what makes the show fun.
Yeah, yeah. Another Marvel show that was really fun that I really enjoyed and came out of left field was Werewolf by Night. Have you watched that, Jason?
I loved Werewolf by
Night. It was great. It's too scary for you, I'm sure.
Is it scary? It's like scary if you were born in like 1930.
Yes. Right? Well, like if you 1950s, it would have been
it's
scary.
It's like a 1950s style movie.
Yes,
right?
It very much so.
Those silent movies by Charlie Chaplin are too much.
Yeah, dude, you can't handle it.
So much fun. Came out of left field. And
you even talk about different with Marvel, yes, Matt. You should watch this.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on my list.
And also what we were saying about that with the She-Hulk, like they don't like Thor doesn't show up or anything. Like another Marvel character, no, like three that I can think of Marvel characters show up, but they're brand new. They're not like part of the bigger MCU. They're introduced along. But yeah,
does it take place in the past, or it's just shot in an old style?
It's modern, but they just for aesthetic reasons, just to hyping up the atmosphere. So much fun, man!
It's a movie too, right?
It's like a one off. Yeah, it's like 45 minutes or maybe an hour.
Oh, it's not even. Oh, it's like a short little thing.
Yeah.
Oh man, I could have watched it. I didn't watch it last night because I don't know if I have enough time to sit for this.
Right. It's a one-off. My dad watched it. We had a whole conversation about it. And he's like, when's the next one? And I was like, oh, buddy. it's a one-off. I mean, I'm sure. I have a feeling it was really popular. Like, a lot of people watched it. Maybe word of mouth is also going to help it. But
my wife likes stuff like that. She watched it with me. And she doesn't really watch the Marvel stuff. It's funny because she forgot it was Marvel. So when we started watching it, she goes, oh, yeah, I've kind of forgot this is some superhero shit.
Like the title card.
Yeah, yeah. She goes, some superhero shit. That's how she phrased it. But she ended up, she's like, I like that a lot more than I thought I was going to like it.
She wasn't wrong, though. No. It's superhero shit. But actually, I mean, there's people with powers, but no one's got a cape on.
Yes.
Yeah.
So without ruining it, because I don't think Matt's even seen the previews for it, right?
I saw a screenshot.
Okay. So the quote-unquote monster in the show was my favorite like character to show up in the show besides Werewolf by Night, you know, which is
I loved that character from the comics, and they did it really well.
Like, yes, they did. I want to see more of that character big time.
That's good not to ruin that one because it's a cool little surprise and done really well and fun and we end up ruining it. That was awesome from Marvel. So, okay, what next, guys?
Oh, so, Ian, this is, I think, more for you. Have you watched the Edgerunners show on Netflix?
No, I have not.
It's great.
I watched, like, 10, 15 minutes of it.
What's the, I don't know,
it's cyberpunk.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you guys were talking about last night. Yeah. I know that it exists, but I have not seen it yet. Yeah.
So, here's my thing on this. I fucking loved this, but there's many caveats. One, it just drops you directly into the universe and explains nothing. Like the show almost expects you to have played the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would like to think that you could still watch it without.
When you were explaining it to me.
It might be like the first scene they're talking about like BDs, which is brain dances, which are like other people's memories that are turned into like experiences.
Wow.
That you can
play
in your
that
brain.
Part, yeah.
Yeah. And like these things that are so important to the plot aren't explained in the game. You're like kind of built into that.
I kind of like being taken for a ride.
So anyway, the game is amazing. You should play the game.
Cyberpunk
It had so many issues on launch that
2077?
Yeah. That kind of buried the fact that it's a really good game. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the other weird thing that this show does that I've never seen before, that the cynic in me thinks is just an advertising ploy to get people to play the game again. But because Cyberpunk, everyone has like their own HUD, like because your mm-hmm. eyes are like robotic and everyone's got all sorts of like replaced body parts. All of the like HUD from the game appears in the show exactly like it does in the game.
Oh,
not nice. Constantly, but there are moments where like if someone's hacking, you see the grid of numbers and they're like hacking through it. And like if there's a video camera footage, you see the exact like cameras at the bottom and stuff. It looks exactly like the game. Hmm. And I've never watched a TV show that made me want to play a game badly. Like the TV show feels like you're playing the game. I don't know how else to explain it. It's so well tied into the game.
Yeah.
But the plot is amazing. And like knowing how much you like heady sci-fi mm-hmm. stuff. And you were talking about that comic where everyone wears VR goggles.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right.
Like I think you would love the cyberpunk universe.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Totally
yeah.
love it.
I love how you were. Your excitement was palpable, but then you kind of curbed it. You're like, well, you're trying not to be entirely subjective, which I totally appreciate.
It's exciting if you've played the game.
Right.
I cannot understand how anyone else would perceive it.
Right, because you're so in it with the game.
Yeah,
and
the game is like, you know, what, 60 hours plus of like living in that world?
Wow.
So you kind of, through osmosis, acquire the world.
So
you know?
Because after we talked the other morning, I came home and I was like, let me sample it just to see what. And I didn't make it through. It was already past my bedtime, so I didn't watch the entire thing. But I was watching it. It's very it's Japanese animation.
It's very traditional anime,
but high end. Like it looks really good. It opens with an action scene, and it's just like trying to show off how awesome their animation is, like what they can do with it, with the effects, but like it's still traditionally hand drawn with computer probably combination.
You can tell they use CG when there's like complex camera moves and stuff.
Yeah, but it's a type of anime that I like, the style, the thin lines and like very fluid.
Everyone's bones are a little bendier when they're moving. Like,
yeah, it's very appealing to look at.
It reminds me so much of like Cowboy Bebop.
Okay,
is what I would compare. Yeah, it to, but much more colorful.
And I haven't played any of the game, but I know of it, seeing trailers and whatnot, and it does look like it's in that world. And
I think I'll have to check it out.
There's a
scene. They're 30-minute episodes, so it's easy to just check it out.
We were talking last night.
That was
about
my
lengths of episodes.
I was like, I have Katie's working. It's like the one time I can watch a show that she wouldn't watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, it's only 30 minutes. Like I'll try it out. And then I ended up watching like the whole show in like 2 days.
Nice. So the scene, so they drop you into an action scene and then they come out of the action scene and then, you follow one of the protagonists, if not the main protagonist, and he starts traveling. I'm not sure if it's Tokyo or.
It's Night City.
And he's on the train or something and he's looking out in the distance and I think they're like ships, like, spaceships, not spaceships, but like shuttles going into something.
The rich people live on the moon.
Okay. And then suddenly he's looking, and then the next thing out the window, and then like, essentially the city is very lived in. Like there's all kinds of shit going on, and like.
And the city's identical, like to the point where there's actual locations from the game appear.
Okay.
Perfectly drawn.
Yeah.
Like the show is set in the exact same setting as the game. It's
so we were talking. So I just by that little sample that I'm gonna add it to my queue of stuff to watch, especially with 30-minute episodes. How easy it is to take that in. We're gonna transition into the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, let's hit the heavy hitters.
Yeah,
you know?
But before I do that, just to my what we're talking about 30-minute episodes. I'm watching Barry, which are 30-minute episodes, and yes.
And that show could have easily done hour-long episodes.
Yes, right, it could have, but like I'm happy that it's 30-minute episodes, and because I think it depends on the show, the type of show, whether or not you want to do you know, like Lord of the Rings, for example, that's how I was trying to transition to, is, yes, you want an hour episode, like, you know, because there's a lot there and so many different characters and whatnot. But, like, and then I think it was last night, you and a colleague, Ian, a colleague, and you were talking about the length of the Lord of the Rings episodes and stuff like that. And then I jumped in and we were talking about, like, not just the length of the episodes, but the lengths of the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when there's like a 22 episode long season, you're like, man, like, I'm fine as long as there aren't any, as long as some of those episodes aren't filler. Like, get rid of the fucking filler.
Yeah, filler.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? So, with Lord of the Rings, and we'll get into it right now, there's one episode left. I think it's a total of 8 episodes. And, it'll be interesting to see, because...
Has everyone watched it, Jason?
Mm-hmm.
We're all 100% caught up.
Yeah. Who's Sauron?
Oh,
man. I know.
Spoilers alert.
Yes, yeah, so let's do a full-on spoiler alert. So if you're not caught up on Lord of the Rings right now, come back, and once you watch that,
has he been
come
revealed,
back.
Or is he
so,
to be revealed?
Yes, Ian, what are your thoughts?
So this has been, like, a struggle for me, because I know I've talked to you about this a couple times, you know, because initially I thought that the stranger, right, was Gandalf. But then with his use of dark magic, basically, because in that world, with your hand turns black, you know, that's dark magic.
Right.
So then I'm like, oh, shit, well, maybe he's, you know, going to be Sauron. But I don't know. It's a little bit, it's just kind of a little too on the nose a little bit for that. So I don't know. I mean, there's a possibility that... yeah, see, I don't know. I'm like kind of torn now. I'm in like a dilemma. I don't know.
Who do you... I think it's the dude that Galadriel found.
Halbrand?
Yeah.
Well, okay. they've been leaning real hard with like trying to make him so much so that I'm like red herring, but like they've laid down episode after episode like Sauron, but then he'll end up saying something where you're like, that's not very sound. But he's
so
a deceiver.
The big thing for me is that the guy who, quote-unquote, killed his family had no idea who he was. What's his name?
Yeah.
Adar.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that was a hint.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you talking about, we're father, so to speak?
Yes, because he would know Sauron, but he wouldn't know Sauron wearing someone else's skin.
Right.
The other prediction that I've heard is those people, the people in white.
In white,
yeah. Like,
they're weird.
But
yeah.
Because the main character, in the books, Sauron in that age looks all like angelic and stuff.
Well, he can shapeshift.
Too, I've heard he's been a vampire, but he's shapeshifted into all kinds of shit, like a vampire.
So he could be one of the Harefoot girls.
He could, yeah. That would be the best.
But you're on Halbrand, I think, is the character's name.
I think that's the two strongest for sure right now.
Because people have thought that Adar character might have been Sauron.
The only reason I don't think it's the stranger is because he seems unaware of himself.
Yeah.
Whereas Halbrand seems to have a directive.
Plus, it would be really kind of dumb to set up this whole friendship thing, which would
I know,
lead
right?
it to be Gandalf later on, because that's why he loves the Hobbits so much, because they basically like took him in when he fell, you know, into Middle Earth from his previous god state, basically, or demigod state.
Yeah.
So that would just be really dumb for him to waste all his time developing.
I don't think
he's going to
be Gandalf either.
You don't think he is?
No.
Hmm.
I don't know how much you know about your Lord of the Rings lore.
I mean, I think
but the wizards don't appear until the third age.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, there's blue wizards that are talked of in the Silmarillion, but and that's the other thing too, is that there aren't any. There are hobbits in the second age, but not in any of the stories that Tolkien. Mm-hmm. So, switching gears a little bit. My favorite part of the show is the Elrond Durin relationship.
Yeah.
That's the strongest stuff in my opinion. And Galadriel's fucking awesome too. There's a scene with Galadriel where she's on a horse and they take a fucking second just to show a smile on her face while she's riding. And I fucking love shit like that, dude. Like they didn't have to do, like, somebody was like, you know what? Like, let's add more character development to this character that we're already, but just let's add a little something extra. And they just show this glory. And yes, this show looks fucking awesome. But there's a shot of them, like, traversing Numenor on horses. And it just looks fucking awesome. Just some people riding on horses on a beach or whatever. And then the camera just gets right up in her face and just show like just glee in her face from just, right, you know, just being free on a horse, you know. And I love shit like that. But she, of course, she's awesome. But like the Elrond, and because Elrond's like one of the main characters, not just in this or like
in the whole thing.
Yeah. He was around in the First Age, Second Age, and Third Age.
Yeah.
So he's one of the main and is embroiled in all the crazy wars and shit that and machinations that have been happening with like Morgoth and Sauron and the elves and the dwarves and all that shit. So it's cool that they got a good actor, and the dwarf stuff's also fucking great. Like, they get right into their culture. I love that stuff.
Right.
But yeah.
Watching this show with my wife is like melting my brain, because it's like similar to the what's it like to watch Cyberpunk the TV show without playing the game.
Okay. Yeah.
Like the last episode, the leaf falls down, lands next to the Balrog.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Katie goes, "What's that?"
Ah, damn, yeah.
She has seen all the Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh, no.
I was like, it's the Balrog. She's like, what does that mean? And so, like, Isildur's running around, like, one of the most important people in history.
Yeah.
To her, she's just... He might be dead to her.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously he can't be dead.
That's the Balrog that Gandalf defeats.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Because yeah. They're mm-hmm. in Khazad-dûm.
Yeah, Moria.
Or it's called Moria years
Khazad-dûm,
later.
Khazad-dûm, yeah.
Years mm-hmm. later, it's called right. Moria.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jason?
About the show in general?
Yeah, or anything, yeah.
Okay. you know, when I first watched the first two episodes, mm-hmm. The show didn't capture me, to be honest.
It was slow going.
And then, and I think it's just because I didn't have as much as the novel and the background in it as some, like Ian. But as I went along, the show really started to grab me, and I am all in now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, especially because I just kept it kept, even though I wasn't like captured and like all in right away. What I found myself doing is reading and reading and reading the stuff I didn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
So like the more the background I built for myself, the better the show got for me. And of course, I think the show has gotten better as it's gone along anyway. But I really like this show. I'm looking forward to watch the next episode every time now.
Same.
Almost more so than the Game of Thrones now. Man. Now and that's not saying that the House of the Dragon isn't good, because it is good.
Right.
It's entirely differently.
But it's very different in the way that it's
right.
That volcano scene.
Yes.
Talk about that was intense.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Because I wasn't sure where they were going. Yeah. I knew that they were setting up Mordor, like they're. You know, but I didn't know it was like, what do they call that? The when you drop I forget the name, where they like a mouse trap, but it's elaborate and shit. Where you drop
the what ball. The hell is that? Something machine,
right? Yeah. Oh, Rube Goldberg.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank God. Yes, when it was kind of a version of that,
you're like, where's this going? What's happening?
Yeah, and it. Oh, it was glorious.
And then, like, the water pours into the lava, and you're like, oh, Sauron's going to crawl out of the lava. And it's like, no, it's just going to fucking blow up.
Did any of you guys come close predicting it? I did not. I was like, oh, shit, the water's going. Where's it going? I'm like, oh,
no,
damn.
I didn't know what was happening.
Which was great. I want to be surprised.
I thought they were going to create a lazy river, and it was going to become, like, a water park.
Oh, for the Uruk and the different orcs. Yeah, they just kind of enjoy. Like, it's like their own, like, happy fun, no sun.
It would be sweet, yeah. And then the mountain could be the water slides. Yeah.
The characters that aren't part of canon, Arendir, the elf guy, I think he's great. I was talking to my dad, but that's the other thing. I thought my dad would not. It'd be a little, I don't know, too slow for him. He fucking loves it, and that's so glad. And then he goes, you know that elf? He's Puerto Rican guy. I was like, yes. I looked it up. He's got a very Hispanic name, and we got all into it and stuff. And who else is trying to think? The Hobbit stuff is all
pretty much everyone in the Southlands is not canon,
right? Yeah. The Hobbits aren't canon.
I like the and maybe this is the same for House of Dragon.
Yeah.
But the idea that the writings are history, and history writings of history is always flawed and tainted by the victor, et cetera, And so both of these shows have the liberty to deviate from the history in a way in which reality always deviates from history.
Yeah. I can see that.
And so, like, specifically for House of the Dragon, I haven't read the book, but I know the book is just three different people's accounts of what happened.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. And so you only get what they were present for or what they heard.
Yeah.
And so it gives the writers a great skeleton to build a show, but then they can... And that's just cool. Like, that's what actually happens. When you read a textbook, you're getting the broad strokes, but you don't know what actually happened.
I love that. We've talked about this. I think I might have been at work with Jason and Zibin, and we were talking about, and it might have been, I'm not sure who it was, but I was mentioning how really with adaptations, I just want mainly most importantly, the essence of the original source material to make it into the adaptation. And you can take liberties they didn't have Tom Bombadil in the fucking Lord of the Rings movies, but those Lord of the Rings movies, I was shocked how much shit they got. Even little shit, like little scenes, little tiny stuff that I remember from the books, like little passages. And, it doesn't have to be an exact fucking copy of the thing, the book or the comic or whatever. And, I know we talked about this a little bit with the Silmarillion and this Lord of the Rings of Power. Like, there's rights issues where they can do some stuff, but not everything.
My understanding is they only own the appendices of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay.
So they can't do anything from Silmarillion.
Yeah.
And I even went as far as to hear that they don't actually own the rights to Gandalf.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what I heard, too.
Yeah. Which is fine, because
can always purchase anything, too.
I haven't read the Silmarillion, but I don't think Gandalf was even mentioned in the Silmarillion.
No, because the Silmarillion is the first and second age, right? I don't think it encompasses the third age at all.
Yeah, but, I mean, Gandalf, he's one of the Maiars or whatever. He's like Sauron, he's a kind of...
He's like a god sent by the bigger gods.
Yeah. Morgoth and Sauron... Especially Sauron, he when they take the ring from him at the end of the Second Age, he's not he just dissipates a spirit into like a weakened spirit, and he comes back together, and then the ring becomes aware that Sauron's kind of like starting to manifest himself, and I think the wizards are that way too. Well, because Gandalf comes back from the dead in that. In the second book, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what I'm trying to say is that Gandalf could have been around in the Second Age,
but it wasn't known.
Yeah. Like the hobbits. I'm sure the hobbits were around in the Second Age, but they're not part of the Silmarillion in the stories.
Mm-hmm.
You
gonna do Game of Thrones?
Real quick. I think the strongest episodes were the fourth episodes and that sixth episode where Mordor
pops.
Yeah. What else did I want to? The Numenor stuff is awesome too. The Island of Men, which it's in the downfall of Numenor is in the Silmarillion, and it's kind of like Atlantis. It just gets engulfed, and the stuff there. They do the regent queen or whatever she is, she has a dream of, and that looks fucking cool too.
Right.
Of Numenor just being, because that's what I
spend a couple million bucks on a dream cutscene.
Yes, yeah, but it's so awesome because that's reading the books. That's like I had my own version of it in my imagination, and then to see it on screen, however many years later, that stuff is fantastic. The prologue at the beginning of the first episode with young Galadriel and her brother, and then they show her brother walking the spirit people, Valinor, I think. Yeah. It's Valinor, yes. Or he's walking over towards a city or whatever, and those two trees are lit up. That's just gorgeous shit. That's just shit that you just get an impression from in a book, and then you finally seeing it on screen, it just—it's just so awesome.
That the whole King of the South thing. Remember the true King of the South? You know, that reminded me of the King of the North. Yeah, I couldn't help myself. I was like, this is a perfect crossover. If the Starks showed up with a gang of people and it's like this unruly bar fight, and they're like, South Side, North Side, South Side, and then they just start throwing chairs at each other.
And then I'll end with them snapping.
So yeah, let's get into House of Targaryen. It's funny because like the uncle, and again, spoilers for Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon. The niece marrying the uncle type stuff, you know, it's off-putting, but then at the same time, that should probably happen all the fucking time back in like, you know, between royal,
especially cousins.
Yeah. But probably more so with like royal families back then to make sure they consolidate power.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck it. I'll just marry two, you know, related people like that. But,
yeah, this last episode is probably one of my favorites because of the human element, the tension between these people, and the family element that's thrown in there, and the element of, you know, King Viserys, who doesn't die. He like kind of influences their behavior because they all kind of introspect and love him to a certain aspect.
Yeah.
When he's in the room.
Exactly. So it's very interesting and well done. Little bit of grotesqueness going on there.
So there's this scene in the last episode that's like the tiniest thing that's like one of the most beautiful scenes I've ever seen. It's right before, spoilers, Daemon cuts a dude's head in half.
Yeah.
So when he's talking, there's a scene that looks at Daemon and Rhaenyra, and Daemon just kind of looks at her, and her eyes shift towards him like a millimeter, and she gives the tiniest little nod.
Wow.
Like, yes. Okay, and then the next scene, he cuts the guy's head in half.
They do that stuff so well in Game of Thrones, that little human, natural human stuff.
Like, they didn't need to show behavior. That, but it was him asking and her saying, yes, please kill this man.
Yeah.
And, like, you could have completely cut that out, and it would have changed the context entirely that Daemon was sticking up for her. But no, she told him to kill that guy.
Yeah, wow.
Do you think Viserys is finally going to be dead in this next episode?
No, you saw him die.
Yeah. Well, you saw him die. That's right. At the end there. I thought maybe he was slowly turning into Skeletor for a while.
And then he's going to be the Night King.
In the next episode, he'd just be like, I'll get you, He-Man! And they're like, Your Grace, there is no He-Man. I'm going to get him!
he's great, that actor that played Viserys, the king there, I thought. Because, he was just trying to fucking keep everybody fucking...
Have you ever seen him out of makeup?
He was in one of the movies. He was in one of Edgar Wright's movies.
Yeah, he looks entirely different.
Yeah, he was in The World's End, I think, is the only thing I've seen that actor in. But he was great in this, man.
Yeah.
And to what Jason's saying about the human moments and like that, where the princess tells Daemon to go ahead, it's like... That to me is what I like about the show. That's the highlight stuff.
Well, I was going to say that this show is all the best parts of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And you still haven't seen it, but I'm going to tell you to go back and watch it for the 100th time because the part of Game of Thrones you watched is...
Yeah.
And I think...
Like, the Ned Stark plot in season one would perfectly fit into the style of what's happening now.
And I think that some... Because there's more than a handful of people that don't like this show as much as Game of Thrones, and it's just a darker show, and it's under more of a microscope, and you're watching the Targaryens. This is what they are.
Well, there's less of a, like, global conflict.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think people want to root for someone... And there's not a lot of people that I think you want to naturally root for in this show. Like, you don't really want to root for Daemon. You don't even want to root for the princess. Mm-hmm. The king has a lot of redeeming qualities, but he's, you know, going to, you understand he's going to be gone at some point. So
my one gripe is that the show wants you to like Rhaenyra too much. I feel like they could have made her less likable, but they keep giving her... They keep giving her reasons. So, like, even, like, the fact that... So, her kids are obviously not her husband's kids.
Yeah, everybody.
They could have just left it at that. But then they had to put in the scene where, well, we tried real hard to have kids, and we just couldn't do it. Like, they keep making her not unlikable.
Well,
she was unlikable because she cheated on her husband multiple times. But then it's like, oh, well, actually, no. Like, they keep... I wish they would just make her less likable. So it's more of like a, there is no good guy.
I mean, it's Game of Thrones and HBO. I'm surprised we didn't actually see them trying.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Yeah, I don't, like, I'm actually on the side of where, like, I did like her at first and following her and found her interesting, but also likable. But then, I don't know, is it weird for me not to be able to get past that she's into her uncle? Like, that's so fucking weird. Like, I don't, and that's not necessarily a character flaw. It is not okay, but it's not necessarily like she's fucking evil. So, but
yeah, it's normal to them.
I'm at the point now in the last couple episodes where I don't think anybody's good in the show. There's glimpses. There's like the son that is getting bullied by the cousins at the table in the last episode, and then he asks the girl to go dance, and I was like, oh, that's light and fun, you know, and you know, it's, there are good people in the show.
Except that the girl is the husband of the guy that was just
bullying. Yeah, so they're still, so it's to fuck with the other people.
Did you guys catch why the dude with the eye patch got so pissed at the end?
Yeah, with the pig, right?
The pig, yeah. I didn't catch that the first time.
He looks like
when they were kids, they played the prank on him with the pink dread that they got him his own dragon, and it was a pig with wings.
Right.
I didn't catch that. Somebody had to tell me that.
When he's growing up, he looks like an anime villain. Because he's got the long blonde hair.
And the chin that is like way too big for a human chin.
Yeah.
It feels like a prosthesis.
Yeah. And he's got the eye patch. He looks totally like something out of, I don't know, Fist of the North Star or some shit like that. But
I got to say, the balls on this show to do the time jumps.
Yes.
And then the balls to do the time jumps and not tell us how much time has passed. I just put like a little thingy where it could be tiny, like, 5 years later. Like, I would love to. Granted, like, I found there's a podcast put on by HBO that I've been listening to after because it helps catch things that you're obviously going to miss.
Course,
and they tell you every time how much time has passed, which is so helpful.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Man, that dinner table scene there with the king, where he's just wanting everybody to get along, and it's very heartfelt. He's like, I love all of you guys, but like, but then it plays into what that voiceover narration at the beginning of the season, where the guy that they're saying how powerful this house is, but that the only thing they can take it down is from within, because it's the only way it can be toppled. And here we go. I mean,
it's funny they say that, though, from within, you know, but it's really all the Hightowers that are destroying the family.
Yeah.
Otto and when he's sitting at the
because basically what happened chair. Is he brainwashed his daughter to brainwash her kids, and now civil war is inevitable, and no one can stop it because of generations of influence and brainwashing.
Yeah, he really gaslit everything when he enabled her behavior when she went after.
But before that, when he said they're going to kill your kids,
right? Yeah.
Like he has put the seeds in place from the beginning. And the reason the kids hate each other is because the scene where she's in Aegon's room and is saying, they're going to kill you. Like, it's all the Hightowers who are splitting this thing in half.
Yeah, he's
because the hand, Otto, at the beginning, I thought he seemed like a noble. I know the premise of the show.
He's the Lannisters.
Is he?
They're the Lannisters.
I do remember from hearing about the old show, the original Game of Thrones show, is that Joffrey was a piece of shit kind of kid, and the name keeps popping up, which it would. I mean, in this show, like people naming, I think one of Rhaenyra's kids is Joffrey.
Yeah,
but I'm wondering how that's gonna connect to the old show, like if at all.
It won't.
No, it's like there's two Aegons, and I mean it's generationally, like,
right,
there's, like,
the Joffrey has no relation to the Targaryen
family. But it must just be a popular name in Westeros. And then was somebody harvesting an egg in that last episode, a dragon's egg?
I think it's going to be like important to count how many dragons there are.
Okay.
Because like each side keeps like gaining, and the dragons are going to be super important.
Yeah.
I think. And I also saw that hopefully they've committed to 4 seasons.
Like, yeah, that's what I heard.
4 seasons total, though. Like, yeah, they haven't the entire thing mapped out, which gives me hope that they can do it well.
Which is a perfect way to do a show.
Yeah.
Because when you have an entire plan, and then a network lets you do it.
That's the second one. That's the hard one.
Yeah. I wonder how Lord of the Rings, how long that would be. Four seasons are probably appropriate.
No, they've already like
five.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it's like I think it was to even get access to do it, they had to commit.
Oh, wow.
Fully to making five seasons, no matter what.
That's awesome. Even saying that, even with five seasons, it's super compressed. Like the story they're telling from the books and stuff.
That's interesting. The books are always over thousands of
years.
And the elves are the only characters that transcend
that. Yeah.
So, like, are we just going to recycle humans every season?
Yeah. Probably.
Which would be interesting, getting new actors in there. But, yeah. Even with five... Because that era is thousands of years, and they're just compressing a bunch of important things that happened in those thousands of years into, like, being just years apart or whatever. I think we might just wrap it up here, guys.
I'm gonna shoot my hot take in here.
Oh, yeah.
I finally watched Top Gun Maverick.
Oh.
And if you want to watch that movie, just watch the last 15 minutes, because that movie fucking blows.
Oh, wow.
Oh, damn.
Well, that's
probably hotter than needed, but
hot.
I did not like that movie.
Hot. Is it out streaming yet? Like,
yeah.
Paramount
Plus now?
No, you know, I can't remember if I paid for it or not.
Okay.
I think I paid for it on Amazon.
Okay.
Okay.
But I didn't like it.
Did you buy the DVD, like the movie?
Yeah, exactly. So, Prime Day, there was like a pre-Prime Day sale yesterday, and one of the items on there was DVD box sets, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
God.
I can balance that out with, I watched the first episode of Interview with the Vampire, the new AMC version of it, and I liked the first episode.
Those were books that I read, too, when I was a teenager.
So
I love those books, man. Anne Rice, she passed away, I think, last year. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Ooh, do we have a couple minutes? Minute?
Let's do it.
I want to tell Hector this, because I love Hector's reaction to sci-fi concepts.
Mm-hmm.
I started reading this book called Ancillary Justice.
Okay.
It's about this galaxy-spanning empire, and they have these massive ships, and the AI that controls the ships is also distributed into, like, reclaimed human bodies. So when they, like, harvest a planet, they take tons of prisoners, and then they store them, and then they can upload ships' AI. So the ship is simultaneously controlling, like, 20 people.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, the plot of the book is that... one of these ship AIs is now stuck in a single body and is trying to live as a person.
Huh.
But for thousands of years was a ship AI and could control an entire ship in like thousands of bodies simultaneously. Huh. And now it's just one person.
Huh. Well, how'd you discover this?
It's like an award-winning sci-fi novel.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just getting into it, but it's a super interesting concept.
Okay. Yeah, I never heard anything like that before.
There's another sci-fi novel that's getting a show on Amazon called The Peripheral. Have you heard of this? It's one of the creators of Westworld is going to do the show.
Oh, yes, I have heard of this.
Are you going to try it? I thought about trying that one out. It's set in the future where there's going to be, seems like virtual reality, alternate realities, and technologies involved.
Metaverse.
Yeah.
Sure. Zuck's gonna make an appearance.
Yeah.
Please just use Metaverse.
Go ahead.
You know what I should have mentioned with Interview with the Vampire? One thing that my dumbass didn't realize, and I don't even know if some people even realize this, that they only watch like AMC through the DVR in it or whatever, if you still have cable or whatever. Is I streamed it, and then I was shocked when tits appeared. I was like, what?
Whoa.
You just like when you watch something on AMC, you don't expect boobs.
Yeah.
Where'd you see these boobs?
It was the Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because I streamed it. So the stream version.
TV? Or there's like extra content.
Yeah. So the stream version, you get a little extra as far as what they can do.
The
boobs were a little extra. Yeah. So I was like, whoa, there's boobs. Where'd this come from? Because, you know, The Walking Dead or whatever. There's only so much they can show, but apparently AMC Plus, when you stream their stuff, you're getting a slightly different version of
things. So you're saying what follows after plus is these nips.
Plus. It is. It stands for plus nipples. Yeah. I learned something.
What was the name of that book, Matt?
Ancillary Justice.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So we'll wrap it up there. Lord of the Rings. We got one more episode left, and so we'll definitely talk about that when we get back together. The cool thing about this show is that it's done what the Matrix movie that came out last year or whenever or this year. That movie wasn't that great. It was fine, but like it reignited my excitement for that franchise, like the first movie. And that's what this Lord of the Rings series is doing, is like reigniting like my love for Tolkien. And I'm just like stuff that I hadn't remembered before, because everybody in those books has fucking everybody in that book has like multiple names. Like right. Durin says something about like they have secret names. But Aragorn, Strider, Gandalf, Mithrandir, like every fucking character, maybe not the hobbits, but just about every character, like
Morgoth is Melkor.
Yeah. And not even just that, like the but my point is that this shit was popping off in my head that I knew 10 years ago that I didn't know that I'd forgotten, and this show's just uncovering like having resurfaced in my mind. And those books, the Lord of the Rings, the trilogies are fucking masterpieces, and the movies I think are masterpieces. The Hobbit movies are.
I never even finished the Hobbit
movies. They're fun.
They're fine. Yeah, but I think I'm gonna for a future episode. I was gonna throw this at you guys and see what you guys thought. We can discuss it later, but I was just gonna throw it out there. I'm gonna pull a Sauron and impose my will to dominate. I was thinking it'd be fun to do Lord of the Rings trivia, and either between us here or we can people if anybody listening wants to test their
might.
Yeah, their might. I was thinking Jason, if like I was gonna see if Jason can like dig up like an online
lead it. Yeah,
because you can like Google Lord of the Rings trivia. I know there'll be like dozens of them, and
I'll be like, what shape were the rings
in what year?
A, circle. B, triangle. D, pentagon.
Yeah,
there was no C.
I was thinking multiple choice would be a preferable, but for a Lord of the Rings trivia, and we'll talk about that and then organize that for a future episode, but we'll wrap it up right now. So thanks for listening, thanks for subscribing. This has been Hector for Ian, Matt, Jason, and Chris Catan saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon.